There's been a lot of action this week on the legal issues facing President Trump and the White House. Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's newly appointed attorney, has added information to the Stormy Daniels case that contradicts both the president and his longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. Plus, some House Republicans have drafted impeachment papers for Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And meanwhile, there's a lot of talk over whether or not the president should be interviewed by special counsel Robert Mueller. Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, a lot going on, as I said, Paul, the Russia investigation and this investigation of President Trump's alleged affair with Stormy Daniels. The investigation, not so much about that, but about how the payoff money was handled. A new piece of that story unfolded when President Trump's newly appointed lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, talked with Fox News host Sean Hannity. Here's a listen.
I was talking about the $130,000 payment,
right?
The settlement payment, which is a very regular thing for lawyers to do. The question there was, the only possible violation there would be, was it a campaign finance violation, which usually would result in a fine, by the way, not this big stormtroopers coming in and breaking down his apartment and breaking down his office. That was money that was paid by his lawyer, the way I would do, out of his law firm funds or whatever funds, doesn't matter. The president reimbursed that over a period of several months.
And that's the new bit there, Paul. The president reimbursed that over several months. The president had said he didn't know about that payment when asked earlier. Is this a big revelation?
I think it is, for a couple of reasons. I mean, I think there's really two big things in what Rudy Giuliani said. I think the big one is the fact that it contradicts what Trump had been saying for some time, which is that he knew nothing about these payments whatsoever. And so it really raises some questions about what sort of connection was there, after all, since the president had said one thing and now Giuliani, his lawyer now, is saying another. I think the other interesting part of that is how it was over a period of time, as Giuliani said, where these reimbursements for these payments occurred, because that itself can raise some real questions and potentially even raise get to the level of a crime of illegal structuring if those payments were done in such a way to avoid, getting any additional oversight by being over $10,000. So a couple of big revelations there, I think.
And with the campaign finance angle here, a key point is that this was President Trump's apparently personal money reimbursing his lawyer, Michael Cohen, not Trump campaign money, not Trump organization business money. Is that an important distinction?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be as well, because it's a real question here of did these payments, was it a campaign type payment or was it a personal thing? What exactly was it? And so in terms of where the sources of the money are coming from and what the purposes of these payments are really does matter legally to how problematic these payments actually are.
Now, with the whole Stormy Daniels story, I mean, there's a salacious angle. This is a porn actress alleging to have had sex with Donald Trump back in the day. He denies that, by the way. This payout and questions over how it was handled. But, you know, this affair, even if it happened, it's not illegal. Is this something that actually could have legal consequences for President Trump or the people around him?
Well, it could for a number of reasons. Like you mentioned, an affair itself is not illegal. However, there's a number of these other legal, kind of a legal web around Donald Trump that could end up being a real problem for him. You mentioned the campaign finance angle being an issue. Now you actually have Stormy Daniels, whose lawyer is filing a defamation charge against Trump. So you have that. So there's actually a number of these legal issues across campaign finance, defamation, illegal structuring, that all could come to the fore here, depending on how this proceeds. And I think Rudy Giuliani's comments here really kind of raised the level of potential danger for the president.
Outside of the legal side of things, the credibility angle here, the president had said he wasn't aware of this previously. Sarah Sanders in press conferences had said, hey, this is for the personal attorney. This is Michael Cohen. This is not something we're aware of. And now Rudy Giuliani apparently saying, yeah, the president was aware of these payments. President Trump saying he was aware. And now some parsing going on today. I don't know where this has landed at this point. Does this raise credibility issues here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I mean, President Trump has come under fire in other circumstances, in other contexts, for certainly stretching the truth, if not outright lying, on a number of issues. Everything from, you know, crowd sizes at the inauguration to policy matters and such. And so I think that there had been some, and continues to be, some credibility issues with the administration to begin with. And I think when you start having Trump's own lawyer contradicting what he said, and then getting one story after another that's different about what actually happened, I mean, it really raises some questions about, well, what really is the true story here? Because we're getting different versions of what happened.
Talking to Paul Nolet from Marquette University about some of the legal issues facing the Trump administration, President Trump, his campaign, the Mueller probe, Stormy Daniels, and more. A lot going on, trying to untangle some of it. Paul, one of the things going on is more changes in the president's legal team lately. Ty Cobb, his attorney, another one out. Emmett Flood in. Rudy Giuliani joined the team over the last couple weeks. If you're a person anywhere in the world facing potential big legal trouble, is it a problem to be juggling lawyers left and right?
Yeah, and especially since, I mean, Bob Mueller's team, which has been a pretty, you know, stable team of lawyers, is a very good team, too. I mean, they very much know what they're doing. And I think having lawyers coming in and out of the administration working on this is not going to be very helpful. I will say that I think particularly Emmett Flood coming in, he's an experienced attorney, a very good one and well-respected one, who I think has a lot more experience dealing with this sort of thing than, say, Ty Cobb did. But nevertheless, I think coming into an investigation that's already very much, very advanced investigation is going to be tough for any lawyer, no matter what quality.
Is it a problem for the president that his lawyers are often speaking on TV, or at least in one case publicly in a restaurant, saying things that could end up being used against them later?
Yeah, and this is something that typically you would think, you know, lawyers are going to be careful about this sort of thing and not get their clients in any more potential danger, but we haven't seen that so far with Trump's attorneys. And it's the same thing with Trump tweeting, which has also caused some legal issues as well, which is basically at a certain point, I know that you're trying to make the political case for your client, but ultimately, if it hurts the legal case, then that really can backfire, and I think so far it has.
Another story we've been watching today, and the details have changed through the course of the afternoon. Michael Cohen, again, longtime lawyer for President Trump. He'd had this raid. It turns out the FBI apparently is monitoring his phone communications, apparently meaning who he's calling, looking at phone numbers. It had been reported earlier by NBC that his phone had been tapped, implying that, you know, his calls may be being recorded or listened to. That would have been a big deal. Is the monitoring of his phone communications, just who he's talking to, a big deal?
Well, I think it is for a number of reasons. I mean, number one, in terms of what investigators actually find out from that evidence that's being collected, but also just the fact that they're doing this, which is pretty unusual, indicates that they must have had some strong reasons and evidence in order to even get this off the ground, to be able to do these sorts of things, including raid the office in early April, and then these newest kind of pushing the investigation even further with these taps and such. So in order to do that, you need to be able to have some very strong evidence that there's problematic illegal activity going on. And so the fact that investigators and prosecutors, I mean, that they've taken these steps to this point seems to indicate that there's a lot going on behind the scenes, that a lot of which we don't even know about yet.
We're talking to Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, looking at some of the latest in the legal proceedings involving President Trump and the White House. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of twists and turns like Rudy Giuliani now representing President Trump, saying that the president did know about the payout to Stormy Daniels? Is this a big story to you, or should we be moving on from that? Should the president sit down for an interview with Robert Robert Mueller? Should he have to, whether he wants to or not? Do you have questions about the ongoing Russia investigations and all the stuff? There's a lot going on. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. We're talking to Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. We're getting an update on the ongoing investigations related to the Trump campaign, the Stormy Daniels settlement, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the ongoing Russia investigation? Should President Trump talk to Robert Mueller and his team? Should he have to, even if he doesn't want to? Call 800-642-1234. And are you following the Stormy Daniels payoff story? What do you think of that? Is this a big deal or kind of a sideshow? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll go to your calls now. John is on the line in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, guys. I have a question. I'm curious. I've never heard anybody talk about it. What if Mueller subpoenaed the president, and let's say the president didn't want to answer any questions and he just completely ignored the subpoena? What kind of consequences would follow from that, and would that bring about a constitutional crisis? And I'll just hang up and listen to the answer.
John, thanks for the call. And this, Paul, is a live question. There are reports that the Mueller team had told President Trump's people, hey, if the president doesn't talk to us voluntarily, maybe we subpoena him. So what happens if they subpoena the president? The president says, I'm the president. I don't have to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question by John there. And it is an open question. The Constitution doesn't say anything about that. And in fact, this is something that in all of American history so far, it's an unresolved question. So not only is there nothing in the constitutional writing, but even in constitutional practice and political practice, there's no clear answer here. I will say that the Department of Justice itself has basically said, for instance, that the president cannot be indicted on a crime. And they've taken the position, and of course they are part of the executive branch, that because the president's duties are so profound and essentially the president is so busy with policy, that getting involved in the legal matters, kind of day-to-day legal matters, would be very distracting for the president. Now, in terms of actually complying with certain judicial processes, well, we saw that with the Nixon administration. And in that case, the court said, look, the president can't completely ignore the judicial process altogether and say, I'm not going to be a part of this. So it's a delicate balance here, I think, between the position that the DOJ takes generally, saying, hey, the president shouldn't get bogged down with judicial matters, and needing to comply with the general rule of law. So I think, John suggested that it might raise a constitutional crisis if Trump just says, you know what, you want me involved in this, but I'm not going to comply. I think that would really raise, I don't know if it would quite reach the level of constitutional crisis, would have to see what happens next, but it certainly would get us closer to that point.
Staying with the idea of President Trump sitting down with Mueller's team, we had questions leaked by someone, questions, we don't know who exactly, questions that supposedly the Mueller team wanted to ask the president. In that interview we were talking about with Rudy Giuliani, Giuliani called them questions intended to trap the president. A lot of feelings questions. What does the president think? What does the president feel? Here's a clip of Giuliani now talking about a potential interview.
If they're objective, we can work something out. If they're not, then we have to shake hands and basically go into a litigation over, do they have the power to subpoena? And I think they lost that power. This is a completely tainted investigation.
So maybe they could negotiate terms of a meeting between the Mueller team and the president?
Yeah, and I think that they would, but I do think that one thing that Giuliani is doing here, and perhaps this entire legal or lawyer shakeup in the administration, is really to try to take more of a hardball stance than, say, Ty Cobb did, who was trying to get more of a partnership with the Mueller team. And so I think the strategy going on here is going to try to pressure Mueller to agree to a number of demands that structures how he might talk with the president if it gets to that point. So I think that negotiation is certainly going to be forthcoming.
I want to bring on another caller now. Paul is with us in Eau Claire. Paul, hi.
Hi. I just want to talk to the professor about a comment he made about taking records from Cohen's office and now going into the phone records. And I've heard this off-the-cuff comment so many times for 17 months that there must be something else going on or they won't be doing it. I think it's time that we drop the faith in a huge part of the FBI and the DOJ and say maybe there is nothing else going on, because for 17 months there has been nothing else going on except an evolution of corruption within the FBI and the DOJ. FISA warrants are obtained with false information. We all think, well, they got FISA warrants. The judge had to look at this. There must be something else going on. And then it turns out, well, the FBI lied about the information of the dossier and where it came from and everything else. And now we're into Cohen, and I hear again, well, there must be something else going on, or they would go after phone records. When are we going to man up on this and just say, this is just a blood fest for somebody that 50% of the country just hates to death?
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. And Paul, is not alone, saying, hey, they've been at this a long time, since really before the election. They really haven't found too much rock solid except for indictments of, you know, Michael Flynn and some other people involved with the campaign. Maybe it is time to wrap it up.
Well, I think there's a couple of things there. I mean, one is to put this investigation in historical perspective. And when we look at other investigations of administrations, including Watergate during the Nixon era, they take a long time to play themselves out. So the fact that we don't know everything that there is to know about what Mueller has been doing as part of this investigation isn't particularly surprising at this point. It's been going on for a while. It seems like it's been a long time, but in historical perspective, it's pretty much online with a number of other investigations that have happened in American history. And the other thing is that, you know, Paul made some comments about, you know, the FBI lied about the dossier and stuff. But, I mean, so, and you've heard this from the administration and from the president, that this is a witch hunt. But the problem with this is that when it comes to the investigation, when it comes to what Robert Mueller is doing, there are at least some checks on the system. In other words, I mean, Mueller has to go to Rod Rosenstein in order to justify certain parts of his investigation. There's grand juries involved. There is the FISA court. But there's no check on political attacks on the FBI or the Department of Justice. And so that would be one thing that I would raise as a concern, is that there's certainly a lot of incentive to push back on the investigation on the part of the administration, but they can do so and they can lob critiques of the FBI without any proof. And if they don't bring any proof saying that the FBI is acting politically, then I think ultimately, if there's no proof there, then that ultimately has a sapping effect on the rule of law and the Department of Justice itself.
Talking to Paul Nolette from Marquette University about the latest in ongoing Russia investigations, other legal issues facing the president and the White House. Paul, so much going on. What are you watching for next? What shoes are you waiting to drop, or are we just going to keep on being surprised by the next development?
Well, I think there's been a lot of things that have been surprising throughout this entire thing. And there is still a lot to be known about what Mueller has been doing and what he's been collecting that all of us are kind of in the dark about. And it also kind of depends on what the administration does. I mean, as we were talking about a little bit earlier with Giuliani, we're getting these different stories about what happened in cases like the Stormy Daniels settlement and in the Russia investigation. And until these some more concrete proof about what actually happened comes out, it's going to be hard to gauge on a day-to-day basis what exactly is going to happen next.
And do you expect to see the president in a tweet implied, hey, maybe I may be taking action that I am entitled to as president? Briefly, do you think something big might come from that angle, a firing of Rod Rosenstein, Mueller, something like that?
Well, it seems like some of that rhetoric, including the tweet that you're referencing, has been potentially setting up that possibility. But I think at this point, even many Republicans, I think, certainly Republican policy makers in Congress, would have some real pushback on the administration if he actually did take that step.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
That's Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. He joined us to talk about the latest in Russia investigations and other legal issues facing the White House. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a new report compares the quality and biodiversity of forests managed by tribal groups with forests managed by other units of government. We'll check out the results. We'll find out how baseball stories can open up lines of communication with people suffering from dementia. Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin is back with us for our weekly roundup of some of the top stories from around Wisconsin. One of the stories probably on our agenda, an EPA ruling on pollution emission restrictions in southeastern Wisconsin. And on this week's edition of Food Friday, wild mushroom season is on the way in many parts of the state. You might be out there looking for them yourself before too long, or foraging around your local farmer's market to buy them from people who have done the work. We're going to talk to the author of a book called The Mushroom Cookbook. We'll find out what to do with all those great fungi or fungi. Never sure. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.